Today's scripture has a very important message about Christian life and about the mission and the purpose of the church. First, what is the church? Based on 1 Peter that we have studied for the past 4 weeks, the church is a group of sinful people who have given a new life by Jesus Christ. This is the definition I arrived from 1 Peter. The church is a group of sinful people who have been given a new life by Jesus Christ. The scripture we just read starts with therefore. Therefore, it points back to the first chapter. Therefore what? Well, in 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter talked about we are privileged people. Even though Apostle Peter wrote to the believers in Asia Minor, they were kind of the aliens. They are the social outcasts. They are the kind of a downtrodden. But Apostle Peter encouraged them. In chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "Praise to be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a new hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So Peter said, you guys are blessed. You guys have a new birth. You guys are newborn. And therefore, in the second chapter, he says, because you have been given this new life, you've got to get rid of your old life. Get rid of what? Get rid of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. And like newborn babies, because you have this new life, you are like a newborn baby, crave spiritual, pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So here Peter is talking about believers. You are newborn. You have been given a new life. Because of this new birth, get rid of your past, the sinful past. And that's why I said, what is the church? The church are a group of former sinners who have been given a new life by our Lord Jesus. I don't know whether you have looked at this list of sins that Peter wrote about. I looked at that in details. Deceit. What is deceit? Deceit means you don't tell the truth. You are trickery. Hypocrisy. That is one of the common criticisms Christian receive, because the world outside says, you Christians, the word and the deeds, the inside and outside don't match. Hypocrisy is inside and outside don't match. Pride. Envy is pride, because you are jealous of other people. Other people is better than you, or better, and have more good fortune than you, and then you become envious because you think that you should deserve better. And slander of every kind. Have you slandered other people? Have you said bad names? Given false testimony of everything? So who has not committed all this? I don't think anybody can dare to raise it. I'm perfect. No, we are all sinners. And yet, there's one sin I have miss over because I'm not too sure what it is. We seldom say malice. Who can say what is malice? I look it up in the dictionary. I seldom tell hurt people, you know, you're malice. And I look it up in the dictionary. It says, well, you know what malice is? Malice is evil intent. You know, you have evil intent to other people. You want to use other people. You want to take advantage of other people. Evil intent. That I'm guilty of too. So Apostle Peter says, therefore, get rid of this. We should get rid of it. God has given you a fresh start. Have you looked at your Christian life as a new start? A fresh start? Throughout the New Testament, it's the consistent teaching is emphasized that Christians, you have a new start. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 4, he described it that way. He said, you should put off your old self and put on your new self. It's as if like Christian life is taking off your old self and put on a clothing, a new self. You know, I used to work in a construction site. In construction sites, sometimes involves a lot of dirty works, especially for some trades like laborers who digging through trenches or plumbers who have to work, you know. So typically these workers, at the beginning of the work, they put on an overall, you know, provided by the company, and then they work all these dirty things, you know. But at the end of the work, what do? They take it off and put on their own clean street clothes. And that is the image that Christians should be. Jesus gave us a new birth. Put off all those lists and lists of sins. By the help of Jesus, we put on a new self, a new clothes, a new beginning. And then like babies, Apostle Peter said, like babies, crave pure spiritual milk. And so that by it, you may grow up in your salvation. You see, here, Peter reminds us Christian life is a continuous growing up process. So we have to ask ourselves, have you stopped growing? That's the question I want everyone to ask yourself. Have you stopped growing? I remember myself as a new Christian many, many years ago. I was still working as an engineer in downtown Toronto. And I rode on the GO train every day, like weekdays. You know, from Brampton to Union Station, it's a 45 minutes ride. So at that time, I crave for the Bible, the words of God. And then I make use of the time. In addition to sleeping, I read 3 chapters of the Old Testament going to Toronto. And at home, coming home, I read 3 chapters of the New Testament. And then after that, I meditate on the words and then fall asleep. But there was a time that I felt my spiritual life was growing the fastest. How about you? Have you lost the craving to the God's word, to the Bible? I hope all of us would take that. God, please give me the same craving I have reading your words. Second, this passage reminds us the church is a community. To become a Christian, our salvation is based on our personal response and relationship with Jesus. Nobody else can do that for you. But once we become a Christian, we belong to a community. Christians are never meant to be lone rangers. The Apostle Peter reminded the Christians in Asia Minor that even though they are social outcasts, they are strangers, they are aliens in the Roman Empire. But take heart, their identity is in the Lord Jesus, who is the living rock, living stone, capital S, letter S. Jesus is the living stone. And because of Jesus, because you guys are living stone, small letter S, you are related to this big living stone. Your identity and your cohesion is within Jesus, the living stone. And Christians are living stones built into a spiritual house. That means every stone has a purpose and a function in this spiritual house. At the time of Apostle Peter, in Jerusalem, there's still the temple, the Old Testament temple, built by King Herod. This Peter is prophesying the replacement of this temple by Christians, who is the church as the dwelling place of God. The Jerusalem temple will be replaced by the church. The church are the living stone bound by Jesus to be a living temple dwelled by God. And he says, you also, like living stone, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Are you amazed at the fact that you can offer anything that is pleasing to God, acceptable to God? Have you wondered that, you know, your songs that just we sang just now can be acceptable by God? God, who has created all angels and musicians, Beethoven, Bach, Mozart, give all this skill to people, can be find our singing acceptable? Are you amazed that? Nobody? I am totally amazed that I can offer anything that can be considered acceptable to God. Paul, in Romans 12, 1, he says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. The apostle says, we offer our life to God and our service is pleasing, holy and pleasing to God. I cannot get over this idea that what we offer can be acceptable and pleasing to God. Let me illustrate what I mean. We have been in Toronto for many, many years, right? When was the last time Toronto bring home the Grey Cup for hockey? Oh, I think it's even before I was born, almost. Maybe not that bad. You know, when was Toronto bring home the Stanley Cup? Stanley Cup, what I mean. Hey? 1967, when you see there's a fan. Okay, let's say, Benjamin, you say that I see that the Maple Leaf, Toronto Maple Leaf is in trouble. And then you said, I'm going to do something about it. So you phone up the head coach, the manager of Toronto Maple Leaf, and they said, I am going to offer as my sacrifice, my skill to play in your hockey team. What do you think? The coach of the Toronto Maple Leaf says, ha, 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 ha. Go home. stay, you know. We don't need you, right? But imagine, we offer something to the creator of heaven and earth, the universe, and it says, we will offer, God, I give you my service, holy and pleasing to you. I just cannot get over it. Our God can find whatever singing we are singing and whatever little deeds that I can come before him, and he says, it is acceptable to me. It is pleasing to me. Spiritual sacrifice. What is spiritual sacrifice? Can anybody give me an illustration of what spiritual sacrifice is? Well, if you have no idea, how can you offer it? Huh? You don't even know, have any idea what offering spiritual sacrifice is according to God. Well, may just as well, I just say it. You know, I offer you spiritual sacrifice, but I really don't have any idea of what it is. Then I don't have to do it, right? Okay, let me give you an illustration. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. I think this would be a very good illustration of what spiritual sacrifice is. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Can you find it? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace on its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. So what do you think? I think that is a pretty good possibility for spiritual sacrifices, don't you think? Love one another. Offer hospitality. If you speak, speak truthfully. If you serve, serve wholeheartedly. Forgive one another. And so that in all these, God's name be glorified. I think that is pretty good. So what Peter is saying is, you are not just offering something abstract. Offer your love. Offer your help to other people. And offer hospitality. In the name of Jesus, may all glory be to him. So third, I think this passage reminds us important message of the mission of the church. The mission of the church. In verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So who are the God's chosen people? Anyone? In the Bible. Okay, let's more specific. In the Old Testament, who are the God's chosen people? The Israelites, the Jewish people. God chose Abraham and called him that, I want to raise you up. You leave your home country, go to the land I tell you to go, and I'm going to make you into a great nation, and you will become a blessing to all people. And then in the Old Testament, it says, we know that from history, Abraham gave birth to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob. So this line that gives eventually Jacob, also named Israel, becomes the nation of Israel. They are the Jewish people. And what is the purpose that God selected Abraham and his people, Israel? The purpose is to bear witness to the rest of the world. It's not that God have played favoritism. God says, I chose you that so that you can be a priest to the world. And what is the priest for? Priest is the mediator between the world, people, and God. So this is the medium. So in other words, God said, I chose the nation Israel so that they can stand between God and the rest of the world, you know, bring the world to God and God blessings to the world. And that, let's look at Exodus 19. That is the time God rescued the Israelites, the Jewish people, out of Egypt from the land of slavery. And then in chapter 20, he will say, now that I have rescued you, then you, as my people, you have to follow my commandments. And 19 is the preamble. They were at Mount Sinai, verse 19. Chapter 19, Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 to 6. Says, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole world, the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. God spoke to Moses. He says, now that I have rescued you out of slavery, you are to become my people. And as my people, I'm going to give you laws, commandments, so that you will live differently than the rest of the world. And all the rest of the world will see that, wow, how blessed is Israel's God. And we want to follow. But as it turned out, did the Israelites become a good priest? No. Instead of being a holy nation, set apart, being faithful to Yahweh, they follow the local gods. They don't follow God's covenants. They are not faithful to God, and they don't follow God's commandments. So they do not become a good priest. Cannot tell other people to be attracted to Yahweh, to God. So they have failed. And God have raised up a new kingdom of priests, and that is the church. Israel are supposed to be a model for all other nations to attract all people to God. But Israel failed. And here, Apostle Peter now applied the same description, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, to the church of Jesus Christ. So we become God's people, a royal priesthood. And the church is the fulfillment and continuation of Israel. As Apostle Paul says, we are the true descendants of Abraham. But the purpose of God's people, the priests, kingdom of priests, is the same. It's the same purpose, is to bear witness for God, so that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. The church have the same purpose, the same mission, is to use our life to bring other people also from darkness into this wonderful light of Jesus Christ. So in essence, the church mission is to evangelize the rest of the world. So let us not to be distracted for our church mission. The church mission is not to be raised up to support any particular political party. The church mission is not just to be the social agent, provide a service to the world, to the society. The church major mission is to bring people into salvation of our Lord Jesus. Verse 10, it says, once you were not a people, but now you are people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Here, Peter, Apostle Peter, is actually quoting, making reference to an Old Testament prophet saying. Do you know what this is? Anyone? Peter was actually quoting a saying in the Old Testament. A prophet. Any chance? Show it out, then you'll be honored. Okay. Oh, no, not a yawn. Okay, look at Prophet Hosea. Actually, Peter was quoting a saying of Hosea, the prophet Hosea. Many of you probably remember Hosea. Hosea is the prophet that God used his life to be a working, living parable. Hosea himself is the parable. Hosea said, God said, I am going to use your life to demonstrate how unfaithful my people is, but then you are going to be like me, who is always faithful, even to the end, to the unfaithful. So Hosea is a prophet. God said, you go to marry your adulterous woman and take her as a wife. This adulterous woman is like my people Israel. You are going to marry her. She is going to be committing adultery, unfaithful to you, but I want you to continue to love her, just like use your life to show my life, my love, my faithfulness to the nation Israel. So what happened is Hosea go to Hosea 1, Lord says to Hosea, go take yourself an adulterous wife and children under unfaithfulness, because this land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord. So Hosea married Gomer, the adulterous wife, and she conceived and bore him a son. And he says, name this son Jezreel. Jezreel is to remember, is a famous battle of God's judgment. So imagine, he says, God said, you marry this woman, she gives birth to a son, you name him Jezreel to remind a battle of judgment. And then later on, Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord says to Hosea, call her Lo-Ruhamah. If you don't know Hebrew, this is the Bible teaching you Hebrew. Is Lo means not in Hebrew. Ruhamah is mercy, it's love. So imagine, he says, you name your second daughter not loved. Name your daughter not loved. Ruhamah. And then he says, I'm going to use this name of this daughter, says that I will not love my people anymore because they are unfaithful. And then give birth to the third son. And he says, name another son, then call him Lo-Ami. Lo-Ami means people. That means not my people, he says. Not. So God is angry. He says, I am going to use this Hosea and his wife Gomer to show how I am very disappointed with my people. I'm going to judge them in the judgment, Jezreel, and they're going to Lo-Ruhamah, not loved, no mercy, and Lo-Amin, not my people. And yet, at the end of the chapter, he says, God said, how can I do that with my people? I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to bring them back. At the end, he says, I am going to love them again. Towards the end, and he says, the people of Judah and the people of Israel will be united, and they will appoint one leader and will come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. Say of your brothers, my people, Amin. And of your sisters, my loved one, Ruhamah, my love. And how was that achieved? We know from the rest of the Bible, God achieved his purpose of bringing the people back is through the sacrifice of his son Jesus. Because of their unfaithfulness, because of their sin, God said, they are not my people. Lo-Ruhamah. Not loved, no mercy. And because of their sin, they are not my people. Lo-Amin. But then, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, they are reconciled, become my people and my love. So what Peter is saying, once you were not a people, Amin, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, Lo-Ruhamah, you have received mercy. You are loved again. And all this is because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the mission of the church is to declare this love, this salvation. God saved us at the cost of His Son. And now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, God wants your life to be transformed by His words. With the power of the Holy Spirit, so that the church can declare His goodness and salvation. Would you do it? Let us pray. After hearing God's message today, would you commit to read God's word as baby craving for mother's milk? If you have this commitment and you want to show it in action, I invite you to raise your hand so that God see it, and a reminder that you have become stagnant, but you want to be revived by God's word. Ask God to give you a craving of His word, like baby craving for the mother's milk. If you are willing to commit, I encourage you to raise your hand. Good. And the second question God wants to ask all of us. The church mission is to evangelize the world. You are the church. Would you commit to share the gospel by whatever doors God opened to you to testify His goodness and by your good deeds? You see, we testify our Lord not just by words, but also by our action. So would you commit that if God gives you the opportunity, you would share the gospel? If so, would you put up your hand? Good. Praise the Lord. So let us pray for God's empowerment. Lord, you have spoken to us today, and many of us have responded. We admit that we have become stagnant in our spiritual life, and we pray for revival through reading of your words. Give us this appetite to crave for your words, like baby craving for milk. And Lord, you have reminded us of your purpose for the world, for the church. And very often, we are like the Israelites who just live for ourselves and not thinking of being a blessing to all nations. And you have touched our hearts so that many brothers and sisters wants to commit to declare your goodness and your wonderful salvation whenever there is opportunity. So please empower us, open door for us, so that we can be the channel of blessings to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.